Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Thursday, February 13th, one day away from Valentine's Day, one day away from the Eagles parade. And this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope everybody has enjoyed the first half of their week. Feels like it's kind of crawling along here to the parade on Friday. I can't wait to get down there. I feel like it's going to be It's going to be a pretty epic day. I mean, we still talk about the Jason Kelce speeches. We still look at the images, the videos from that day. I can't wait for it. And I can't wait to see. I always thought one of the really cool images was the quarterbacks on the front of the bus coming around City Hall holding up the Lombardi. And now you look at that picture with Carson there, and I feel like it has a little bit of a mixed, you know, not the same feelings with Jalen there holding it up. I think it's going to be a pretty cool photo. So I can't wait for the parade on Friday. But there are other things going on with the Eagles as offseason news slowly starts to begin. And, you know, still some stuff from the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts is doing a media tour. Saquon, Jalen, and offensive linemen were on Jimmy Fallon tonight. So we got a lot to get into, as well as the first bulletin board material for the Eagles for next season. So let's dive right into it. First, what's on the schedule for today? I'm expecting to get to speak to some Eagles players, as I believe they will have media availability today, and give us a chance to talk to the Eagles for the first time since they won the Super Bowl. Interesting to see what their last few days have been like. There's free agents to talk to, so it should be an interesting day for that. So keep an eye out for that on your Twitter timeline. Not sure of the time yet, but we should talk to some Eagles today, as well as probably Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman. And then, of course, I'll say it every day until it happens. The parade. We're almost at parade day. Parade starts Friday at 11 a.m. They'll go down Broad starting at the at Pattison by the NovaCare complex, go all the way down to the Art Museum, and then we will hear from them from 2 to 3:30, the speeches from various players, and excited to see who gives the best speech. So that is what is on the schedule. No injury report, as there are no games to be played. So let's dive right into some of the notable audio and just different things I saw online that have started to go viral. So first up, I thought this was pretty cool. So this is Patrick Mahomes talking after the Super Bowl. And as I said earlier in the week, one of the cool things about there being so much content is that, like, you've never seen anything. Like, there's not everything out yet. Didn't get a chance to see all the post-game stuff. Didn't get a chance to see what everybody has said. So this is the first time I was hearing it. But this is Patrick Mahomes talking about Jalen Hurts after Jalen beat him in the Super Bowl.
I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, but the one thing that I've always respected about Jalen is that he's a winner. And I know that sounds, some people take that as like It's not a good thing, but you have to find ways to win with your football team that you have around you. And that's what I've learned in my entire career, and that's what he's came into the NFL and done his entire career, is that if he needs to run the ball, he will run it. If he needs to throw the ball, he will throw it. If he needs to make a big play, he will make the big play. And so that's stuff that not everybody has. And that's something that I have a lot of respect for Jalen. And I said it after the first Super Bowl we played against. I said he will be back, and he was, and he got the better of me today. And I'm sure we'll face again at some point in our careers in a big game like this.
It's funny listening to Patrick Mahomes. It's almost like listening to like a fan or a sports radio caller or anything, just like explaining why Jalen actually is an elite quarterback. But if anyone would know, it's Patrick Mahomes. And look, you know, I agree with him. We've talked about Jalen obviously a ton on this pod. I have been pro Jalen. I do think not turning the ball over and winning is really kind of what really matters when it comes to Jalen. And what he said about he runs it when he has to, he throws it when he has to, it is true. Like, how many examples do we need of Jalen throwing the ball at a high level when he needs to just admit that that's what it is? Obviously, would he love to throw for 400 yards every week? Of course. Like, I do get the point of if he threw it better every single week, then the offense would be better. But the bottom line is, when they have had to throw the ball, he's been able to do it. So I think what Mahomes says is very true. Next up, Jeffrey Lurie. I thought this quote was super, super interesting. So I'll play it before I give my opinion and give you guys, you know, a little bit to think about the main takeaway here. But here's Jeffrey Lurie speaking to John Clark of NBC Sports Philly, talking about how they wanted to draft Jalen Hurts.
I asked Howie this earlier. When you drafted Jalen Hurts, the Tua picture, his moment, Super Bowl,
absolutely. We were obsessed with getting Jalen. He saw his potential, and we thought this was exactly the way it would be. Honestly, the guy is very special. He's got the clutch gene.
I asked Howie this earlier. When you drafted Jalen Hurts.
It's so funny now to hear them talk about drafting Jalen as opposed to at the time. At the time, it was, well, you know, there's no way he's going to take over for Carson, and Carson's still the guy. And yeah, Jalen's just going to be a good backup at a set cost. We just paid Foles all that money. And now you hear Lurie being like, we were obsessed with getting him. We thought he had special qualities. We knew he could turn into this. The further away we get from it, it's very, very clear. The drafting of Jalen Hurts was a massive, massive safety net for Carson Wentz, and probably drafted with the belief that Carson was not going to be what he had been in 2017 and that they needed to start potentially finding a new option at quarterback. And the idea of him being a backup, he was probably never going to be the backup. And now he's turned into a Super Bowl winning quarterback, a two-time NFC champion quarterback. But if I'm Carson and I hear that, I'm like, come on, man. Like, you told me he was going to be a backup. Like, so pretty clear that it was never the plan for Jalen Hurts to be the backup. Next up, so this has kind of been what most people in Philly were talking about on Wednesday, and it is Jason Kelce, who has been somewhat quiet, I would say, since the Eagles won the Super Bowl. He wasn't, for at least what I saw, in the locker room after the game. He wasn't going crazy at the stadium. So he talked about kind of the emotions of the game. Obviously, Travis Kelce, his brother, on the other side. So this is Jason Kelce on the New Heights podcast talking with Travis about kind of the complicated situation he was in.
By the way,
and I wanted gone through adversity with, and it really makes you very, very close. And then on the other hand, you have your brother. And I've always supported you. I've always wanted you to win.
Every step of the way.
And I wanted you to win this game. I thought I made that clear.
You made it clear to me.
It was weird, man. It was hard to navigate because I'm trying to, like, obviously I'm trying to say that I have people on the Eagles that I love, and I also have you. And I tried to make it known that I was rooting for you. And it felt like I couldn't be right. Felt like no matter what I said, some people are going to skew it and say that I'm rooting for the Eagles, and some people are going to skew it and say that I was rooting for the Chiefs or Travis. Yeah. And
it's just,
it sucks.
It's the world we live in, man. Everybody wants to just fucking call people out. I know I always had your support, and I joked around saying with your cheering for the Eagles. Listen, you and Kylie are there in Philly and have created one of the most beautiful situations that I've ever seen. You guys are loved by the community out there. You guys are very much a part of the community out there. Outside of that organization, everything from the foundation stuff that Kylie does, they both of you guys do, to the countless amount of hours and years you spent in that organization, giving it everything that you have. There is, you don't have to explain anything to anybody. as long as the people right here, I know who Jason Kelce is and I know my brother and what his intentions are, and nobody can ever fucking confuse that. And you can't let these jamokes online make you think that you're in the wrong for what you're saying. What you're saying is, I hear it. I hear it loud and clear. And I think the people in the Philadelphia organization understand exactly what who you are and what you represent and how you are saying it as well.
Yeah. And all that is true. Like, we are still very much attached to this organization, which is why there is part of me that obviously is very happy and proud that they have won this game. But that doesn't take...
And that doesn't make you less of a brother. That doesn't make you less of a brother. That doesn't make you...
That does not take precedence over rooting for you.
Yeah.
And that's why this game sucked. It was very, very hard to watch. As much as I love the Eagles, as much as I love the city of Philadelphia, there was not a fucking ounce of me that... And I know that, like, I don't know. I tried to correlate that I was rooting for both sides the whole time and that I was going to be happy and sad regardless.
That's what
I heard. No matter who won, it was going to be a happy and sad regardless. And trying to communicate why I might be rooting for the Eagles, I think some people... I don't even want to do this. I don't even know. Like, as now we've already done it.
Fuck them. You don't owe any of these dickheads the acknowledgement. You really don't, Jason. Everyone that knows you knows your intentions. Anybody saying anything otherwise is, like you said, just a fucking... Just trying to get a rise out of somebody else.
It was the weirdest game ever watching. Because the only other time you don't care about the outcome is when you're not really attached to either of the teams. And in that case, there's not a lot of emotion put into it.
Yeah.
Like, I still remember, like, the first play, the A.J. Brown penalty. I remember this, like, wealth of, like I jumped up out of my seat. That wasn't a penalty. Like, I jumped up out of my seat on that one. Then I jumped up out of my seat on the Nick Bolton hitting Dallas Goedert, because I thought that was a horseshit call. And I'm going back and forth. It ended up just not being a fun game to be a part of or watch. Because at all times, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't even know what I want to say, man. I really don't. Because no matter what, it's going to piss somebody off. And I probably shouldn't care if it pisses anybody off. That's probably the reality of it.
That's the Jason Kelce we all know right there. You're giving these people way too much fucking, too much of your effort, too much of your time, too much of your attention.
I didn't know what it was going to feel like going through the game. I thought I did. I thought I understood going into it that I would be happy in some way, sad in another way. And that, but like the further the game went on, I just got more and more like down, upset. And like, part of that is like, I'm in a box with all of our family and loved ones and friends. We're all just like, dude, this sucks for Trav. This sucks for his team. And I don't know. Like, I didn't anticipate the amount of just like sheer discomfort and frustration that I would have watching the game. I thought I would kind of just be like, oh, you know, like I like both of these teams. Whoever wins, may the best team win. And it just didn't turn into that. It didn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it would have been reversed, if it would have been the same way. I don't think it would have.
If it was an actual fucking game, that shit was just...
Well, that might have made it better.
Yeah.
I think the fact that it was that kind of like lopsided, it was like, man, this is fucking just like hard, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Listen, man, nobody's going to be able to relate to what you or me or, you know, even Kylie. Nobody can relate to what it's like to have to pick between those two, like this type of situation.
Nobody knows what it's like to even... That was my whole thing. I wasn't trying to pick.
Exactly. So, but you can still be happy for somebody and you can still be sad for somebody. It is what it is, you know?
And at the end of the day,
it's fucking football, man. And I know I'm saying it like that because I just lost the fucking game and I'm going to act like it didn't mean the entire world, but it's my third, it's my third in 3 years. I've had so much success playing this game. It still means the world and it always will. And this one's going to fucking hurt just like fucking Tampa did. And I think about that way too often, but this game is just, you know, it's just our jobs. My life is still beautiful. I come home to an amazing household of family and friends that absolutely love me. And I, you know, that's the beauty of, you know, going through a hard time like this is that, you know, I can still have happiness and still have an amazing time in life. Even when something like this happens, because I got the support that I do. And that's how I'm going to feel about it. I'm definitely compartmentalizing and you know, putting this in the back corner and I'll deal with this at another time. But you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like the world's over because of this thing. And
yeah,
I don't think
I would not expect you to.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to articulate that.
So first I would say, like, obviously Jason should be rooting for his brother. I know he's Mr. Philadelphia. He's Mr. Eagle. He loves the Eagles. He loves Philly. All those things are true, but it's still his brother. It is still his brother. So the fact that he's even torn about who to root for is really telling. And the fact that he even is feeling mixed emotions shows how much he cares about the Eagles in Philadelphia. And I would also say, just my piece of advice to Jason, and not that he needs it and not that he's going to hear it, but don't let the internet people, or like, he's so famous at this point, everyone's going to have opinion about him. And I'm sure it's hard for someone like Jason, who has a Q rating of like a billion. He's Mr. Popular. Everybody loves him. I get, and well deserved. He's a great guy, super popular. Like, he is well deserved to be very, very well liked. But now that he's this famous, like, there are just going to be times where people rip into him. And I am sure he feels that on a level more than other people. Like, from the outside looking in, I don't even think he's been that criticized. Like, I've seen some of it, but I don't feel like it's been this major topic. For him, it probably feels like a big, big deal. Like, who am I rooting for? And the other fan base is mad at me. And I'm sure Taylor Swift getting booed and the Swifties tweeting at the podcast, why are they congratulating the Eagles? Like, I'm sure all that, he feels that to a large degree. And just from my experience of being around Jason, he's an emotional guy, which is a good thing. He feels strongly. Like, you can just tell he feels strongly. So when he feels like people are hating on him, I'm sure it's a very strong emotion. But it's someone that has also been ripped online at a much smaller scale than Jason, but still, like, he can't, I just hope he doesn't let it bother him, because it's his brother who lost a tough game. He's on the podcast. Like, it's completely understandable, and nobody can understand what he's been in. Nobody, honestly, yeah, like, nobody besides Travis, if Jason unretired played for the Eagles, Travis retired and the Eagles played the Chiefs next year. No one can understand the emotion he's going through or been through. So I don't think anyone should be critical of him. Anyone that is, it's like, relax. It's just a game, and it's his brother. But I hope Jason isn't feeling it too hard, because I don't think he deserves to be criticized. And while maybe it's now feeling like there's a few Eagles fans that are mad he was rooting for the Chiefs, I know he's still super popular amongst Eagles fans. Next up, Jalen Hurts doing his media tour. He was on Fallon. He was on The View. He was all over. Saquon Barkley was on Fallon with him. The offensive linemen were there. They sang a song. They all shotgun beers, besides Jalen, who sprayed his all over Cam Jurgens, I think it was. Like, I don't think Jalen's a drinker. I saw him in the post-game celebration. He had a beer. Then I saw him, you know, I've now seen video of him spraying it on somebody. So maybe he's not a drinker. But they were on Jimmy Fallon, and they talked about the tush push. And here they are, Saquon, Jimmy Fallon, and Jalen talking about it.
The first one was doing what people are calling the tush push. Yeah. Is that what you call it?
It's not what I call it.
It's not what you call it.
It's
no.
Not what I call it.
What do you call it?
You know, I'm not going to say what I call it, but it's
okay,
not,
but it's not.
You know, everybody is came up with their own name for it. You know?
Yeah.
The brotherly sub, the tush push, all these different things. It's not that.
It's not that. No. Okay.
I was shocked too, because when I got there, I known as the tush push, but I didn't know if that's what it'd be called, but I thought it was called that, and it's not called a tush push, actually.
No. What is your role in the quote unquote tush push?
I think I have the easiest job, to be honest. I think I'm the one who pushes the tush.
It's funny how 2 years ago, and even last year, it was like, this play can't be in the league. It's unfair. We have to get rid of it. Opposing fan bases booing when they lined up to do it. And now they're on Jimmy Fallon, Super Bowl champs, joking about the play. It just shows things change. It just shows that, like, a lot of times the criticism is mostly tied to losing and frustration more than it is based in reality, i.e. Jason Kelce and what he's going through. But it's funny to hear him joke about it. And it's been cool to see Jalen, like, go around, do his media tour, show personality, you know, just kind of enjoy the fruits of his labor and to enjoy the spotlight. Jalen is definitely somebody, has a good team around him, and they're good at capitalizing on it. They're good at marketing him. He's good in the Jordan commercials in 2022 when he first kind of burst onto the scene. We all remember that offseason. He did a lot of stuff where he was out and about in terms of publicity, and that's fine. Like, he has time in the day to do it. But now that he's Super Bowl champion, I'm guessing you're going to see Jalen quite a bit. Was already at Disney Disney World. He's doing the TV shows. It's pretty cool. I think Jalen's going to be a big-time star this offseason. He definitely enters next year as one of the faces of the NFL. But speaking of next year, the Eagles already have their bulletin board material for next season. In case you thought they were going to be viewed as top dogs, guess again. So on the other side, we're going to get into a power ranking that I think definitely disrespected the Eagles. But first up, a word from our...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsors. So with the 2024 season in the books, the 2025 season is officially being looked at and officially being projected. And with that, we have our first batch of power rankings. Now, let me say the Eagles finished very high on a lot of power rankings. In fact, they finished number one on a lot of power rankings. But ESPN released their power rankings for next year. And let's just say the Eagles certainly are not where I think they belong. So the Super Bowl champions who won the NFC, who basically didn't lose a game all year, who demolished the NFC championship opponent, Washington Commanders, and then also demolished the Super Bowl, obviously in the Super Bowl. Sorry about that. Got distracted for a second. Obviously demolished in the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. The Eagles finished fourth in the power rankings. Fourth. Not first, not second, not third, fourth. Not first in the NFC, not first in the NFL. And if they were in the AFC, they'd be ranked third. I mean, that's just crazy. So number one, the team that just got smacked and beat up by the Eagles for four quarters, the Kansas City Chiefs. So here's what ESPN writes. Yes, the Chiefs lost in Super Bowl 59, but they still have a loaded roster. General manager Brett Veach said, our free agency will be our draft in the offseason with regard to key player acquisition because of a tight salary cap situation and a long list of Chiefs' own potential free agents that they would like to re-sign. Kansas City will have four picks in the first three rounds, having acquired an additional pick early in round three by trading cornerback Legarius Sneed to the Titans last offseason. So sounds like the Chiefs are going to retool. And look, I spent the week before the Super Bowl being like, the Chiefs are the better team. They deserve the respect. They have Mahomes and Andy. That's gone now. That's gone. They just lost to the Eagles in embarrassing fashion. And to say that they have a loaded roster, I mean, we saw in the Super Bowl that's not the case. I thought their roster was better than it showed, but it wasn't. Look at how it looked in the Super Bowl. So to have the Chiefs won after the Eagles just smashed them around is crazy. Like, I think that's giving the Chiefs a level of respect that, frankly, I think they lost in that Super Bowl. But if you want to have the Chiefs won, which I disagree with, you got to have the Eagles too. But they don't. They have the Bills number two, the Lions number three, and then the Eagles number four. It's just absurd. It's absurd. The Bills, they lost to the team that the Eagles beat. The last time the Eagles played the Bills, they beat the Bills. The Eagles had more wins than the Bills. The Lions, yeah, they had more wins than the Eagles, but they lost to the team that the Eagles smoked in the conference championship. If the Eagles had a ton of free agents, if the Eagles were an older team, I would get it. But they're not. They do have free agents, but if they lose Zach Bond, that doesn't drop them from 1 to 4. I just think this is pretty crazy. And if the Eagles are looking for material to feel motivated, then yeah, this is certainly it. Because if I just don't see how they're not number one. I don't see how they're not the heavy betting favorite to win the Super Bowl next year. I know it's hard to do. Teams don't often repeat. But just based off the roster and the way this season went, I think the Eagles should pretty clearly be number one on most power rankings. So thank you so much for listening. The parade is almost here. One more day away. We will have another live pod today at 10 a.m. The last live pod. The final one before we end the season off with the parade. So thanks for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.